Thank you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to thank the men, the brothers here, for trusting me while Andrew's gone to bring you a message this morning. And I want to thank Joe, Chad, and Andrew especially. I had a meeting with them a few weeks to a month ago. There were some things that I wanted to, a couple of things I wanted to talk with them about. And good guys to talk to. So we met over here at Andrew's office one Wednesday morning, I think, about 9:30. We went into his office and we sat down and talked, and we left out of there about 2:30 that afternoon. Now, remind you, all that wasn't about my questions. We just was talking and had a good time getting to know one another and fellowshipping, and they learned a lot about me, and I learned a lot about them, the leadership here, and the direction that the church is going. My wife and I, you all met my lovely wife here, Bridget. We moved here from Morgan City about 9 months ago, maybe 9, 10 months ago. And we just wanted a change, so we found a beautiful home here. So we've been here, you've been seeing us here, we've been visiting. But I've been in the church for since 76, around 46 years. And I've done some of everything in the church, so this is nothing new for me, even though I haven't been preaching. The last sermon I preached was my youngest brother's eulogy in Morgan City, right before we moved here. He died of COVID. So that's something that we all want to not take for granted and still take our precautions as we even come together to worship. But when God calls you to do a service, or when you are asked to do a service as a brother in the church, if you have the ability to do it, scared and all, you do it. He'll prepare you for whatever it is he's calling you to do. Don't want to be like Jonah when he ran, got on the boat, went to the seas, and God followed him out to the sea because he wanted him to do something. So he ended up in the whale's belly in the raving oceans and all that. Y'all know that story. But getting to know these guys here and all the men that I've met, even at the Men's Day last week in the park, I won't call anybody else's name because I may forget some, but I met some real nice brothers here. You guys are really having an effect on me, as well as the sisters with my wife, Bridget. So I won't spend a whole lot of time talking because this board, if you notice, I have a board prepared for you. It's like gumbo. I know you all know about a good pot of gumbo, right? Here in this part of Louisiana. So this board consists of some of everything. Now, it helped me when I first heard it years ago when I was a new convert, and it's still with me today. So I want to do my best to present this lesson to you. So you all just be patient with me because I don't preach all the time, but I trust the Lord that he want me to do this for this morning. He's going to guide me through this, okay? With your patience. So, as you can see, the title of this lesson is The Three Worlds. And hopefully you get out of this lesson what I'm still getting out of it today, over 40 years. And we have this world, which is the world we live in today. And we have the unseen world, we call it, or the spiritual world, a place we go when this life is over right here. And then the eternal world, when all this is all over with, when Christ come again. We are all here this morning because we know that this world, like the song says in the songbook, this world is not our home, right? So we are preparing ourselves for these next two worlds. We're not here forever. So if you didn't think there was another world after this one, you wouldn't be here. You would be at home somewhere watching Netflix, playing golf, fishing, or whatever, right? So we know that this world is not going to be forever. So we're going to look at some things, and each one of these worlds have two parts. And no matter what religion we are come from, or what we believe now, or what doctrine we believe in, this is facts here. There's no doubt about it that we all live in this world. How do we get in here, this world? Job said in Job 1:21, "Naked, without possessions, I came into this world from my mother's womb." And a different, this is the amplified version of it. You may read another translation, it may say something different. But the point is that Job says, I came into this world like we all did from our mother's womb. Of course, our fathers had a little bit to do with it too, right? But mom allowed us entry into this world. It's like a puppy. You ever seen a litter? I'm going to try to make this clear to you as I can. This reminds me of a litter of puppies. When a new puppy is born, at some point in time, he's looking for the food station. You know what the food station is? Mom's nipple, right? So they're going to find their way crawling to that nipple so they can feed. Because if they don't feed, what happens to them? They're going to die. They're not going to grow. So as we are born into this world, at some point in time, we're going to have to find Christ. Not as a newborn like the little puppies, because at the age of accountability, we are going to be required by God to get into his kingdom. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6:10? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was teaching his disciples here how to pray for the kingdom to come, which is the church. He said in Mark 9:1, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. I mean, how do we know, how did the kingdom come with power? When Christ died, was crucified, died on the cross, buried, and he rose on the third day. How much more power can you get with that, than that? On the day of Pentecost, the first church started with 3,000 souls that were baptized on the day of Pentecost, right? You all know that story. So the church came with power. Galatians 1:13, Paul says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This is our food station, being in Christ's kingdom. You're born into this world like Job was, like we all were, but at some point in time, you got to find a food station. Food station for us is kingdom Christ, is the kingdom of Christ, being in his church. You have to be in his church, okay? John 3:5. How do we get into Christ's kingdom? John 3:5. Here, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and telling him what he had to do. In verse 3, he told him, except a man hath to be born of the water. Then verse 5, he says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we can go through various scriptures to support what we're saying, but time won't permit us to do that. You all know all this, right? You have to be born again in water and of the Spirit. What does that mean? You have to get in the water to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you have to go into that water with the right understanding, or you just got wet. If you're going in there not believing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that he's your Lord and Savior, you thinking Buddha is your savior or golden calf or whatever you may believe in, and you just got wet. You didn't get baptized for the right reason. Okay? So here we see that right off the bat, that like the little puppies, when we are born into this world, at some point in time, you got to find a food station, Christ's kingdom, at the age of accountability, when you begin to know what's right and wrong. We don't expect our newborn babes to know what's right and what's wrong, right? They don't know where the food station is. You have to bring the food station to them, right, Mom? You got to bring that bottle to them. And if you don't bring it to them, what are they going to do? They're going to holler and scream at the top of their lungs. And if you bring it too late, they're going to continue to holler after you give it to them. You took too long. How many moms can attest to that? Or you take too long to change the diaper. Why are you changing? They still screaming holler. You took too long. Don't take too long to get into Christ's kingdom. Don't take too long, because you won't borrow time. We're living in the last days now. So you don't know when your last day is going to be here. Okay? There are a lot of things I can say about this, but I have to keep it moving because time, we got some things to cover, right? Okay. So we understand now at this point about the first part of this world. We're born into it, and we have to find Christ at some point in time. That's why we're all here. Because each and every Sunday, we want to be fed Remember the gumbo? We got a gumbo going on this morning. We got some of everything in here, but it's going to help us. Okay? So Jesus told Nicodemus he got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, which is what we all need to do today. How do we get from, well, let's go to John 12, 31, Acts 3:15 said, and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, where we are witnesses. Who's the Prince of Life? Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Life. And we're going to look at the next verse and make sure we don't get them confused. John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who's the prince of the world? Satan. When I first read this, because I didn't know any better, when I hear the word prince of this world, I'm thinking Jesus. But no, it's not Jesus. It says here, the prince of this world is going to be cast out. Jesus is not going to be cast out. He left. He didn't have to cast him out. He left. After he came and did the Father's will, what did he do? He left and went back to heaven. So we didn't cast him out. He came here of his own will and power, knowing he was going to be crucified, persecuted, and everything else, and he could have stopped all that. But he left. We didn't cast him out. We may have. Back then, they may have crucified and killed him, but they didn't cast him out. Satan God will be cast out at the appointed time. He will be cast out. Okay, so we don't want to get those two confused and mixed up. How do we become a part of the next life, the next world? How do we become when this life is over and we realize that we are here in darkness? How do we get to the next life? And I want this to sink in for you a little bit. I'm not trying to go too fast. I want it to sink in for you a little bit, okay? I'm not trying to rush through it because I want you to really get it. Because if you don't get this part, you're not going to get the next, all right? So we have the Prince of Life, which is Jesus, and the Prince of this world, which is Satan. Don't want to get those two confused. John 5:19 says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. So when we are born into this world, we know this whole world is wicked. That's why full of sin, full of wickedness. But when we come into this world through birth, we find the food station, Christ's kingdom, and we get into it. And then we are under the administration of the Prince of Life. Jesus is going to give us light in a world that's full of darkness. That's all it's saying, okay? Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember now, we are still in this world, Paul is saying. Also, when I first read this, I'm thinking, all this stuff going on in heaven. But there's no wickedness going in heaven. When wickedness was the world going on in heaven, Satan, God kicked them out, right? So we're trying to get to heaven. Why try to get to heaven and there's still wickedness and things like that waiting on us? What's the purpose in it? So wickedness in high places is not in heaven. Wrestling with flesh and blood against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. There's no darkness in heaven. We don't want to get that mixed up. There's no rulers of darkness, no darkness in heaven. So against the rulers of darkness of this world right here, against spiritual wickedness in high places, our government leaders, people that are up over us, making decisions for us that sometimes we don't care for, okay? I mean, just check it out some more. Study that, all right? So we realizing this part of the world is where the wickedness is going on. This part of the world makes the whole world in darkness unless we bring light and follow Jesus, okay? Light is up here in Christ's kingdom. Until you get into it, you're in darkness. So if you don't get into Christ's kingdom, you automatically qualify for the kingdom of darkness, right? And kingdom of darkness represents sin in our lives. We're in sin. We're out of Christ. We're not in Christ. Okay? That's all it's saying. So, John chapter 8, verse 21. John 8, 12 first. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So what I just said, we are in a world, we are born into a world that lies in wickedness, as we read earlier. But until we find a food station again, we'll have light. But until then, we'll be in darkness. But Jesus said, if you follow him, you won't walk in darkness, you'll walk in light up here. Okay? Because he's the what? Prince of life in this world. So by now we realize that this part of the world, if you're in Christ, belongs to Christ. But if you're not in Christ, you're in Satan's part of the world, where he's the prince of this world, and you're in darkness. Okay? I hope I'm making it clear to you this morning. All right? So how do we get to, if we die, according to Hebrews 9:27, says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. But I missed the scripture in John chapter 8. Can we drop down to verse 21? John 8:21, Jesus said, then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Okay, this is very important for us to know, because if you die in your sins, Jesus is saying right here that where's Jesus now? He's in heaven, right? Do we all agree? So if you die over here in this world in your sins, he's saying where I am, you can't not come there, because you died in the wrong place. Okay? But we're going to learn in a minute. Well, what happens if I die, Brother Johnson, in my sins? We already know you can't go to heaven. Jesus said that. But what happens to me if I die in Christ, in the kingdom of Christ? Okay? So let's look at Luke. We're going to go over to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read that story about the rich man again. I know you're familiar with that, but Luke 16, we're going to start at verse 19. And I like this story. It gives me a good understanding of what happens to me and your souls and our bodies when this life is over with. Okay, starting in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, you know this story, but we're going to go over it again, okay? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Okay, here we go. Abraham's bosom. He died. Evidently, he died here, and he was carried to Abraham's bosom. Okay? And the rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. I need to go back to that first scripture for a minute. I missed something. And it came to pass when Lazarus died, he was in comfort. I want to make sure we get that. Yeah, there we go. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, I didn't say it then, but Lazarus was in comfort right here. He was in Abraham's bosom, which is a type of paradise. That means he was resting in peace. But the rich man died in his sins, like Jesus said, and he died here. And when he lifted up his eyes, okay, let's go to the next verse, but now he's tormented. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So, again, in this scripture, the rich man, while he was being tormented here, he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus with a tip of water, just a tip, to cool his tongue, because he was tormented. He was in pain. Can you imagine that? That's not a good place to be. So the rich man died here, and he lifted up his eyes. His body was buried. Assuming the local grave, we all have a plot waiting for us, for our bodies, right? We have a plot. They call it a plot. The graveyard is to receive your body. But there's a separation going to go on, and your soul is what God wants back. That's what's going to be judged, your soul, not your body. The body goes into the grave whether you've done good or evil. It goes back to the ground where it comes from. Your soul, your inner man, is what's going back to God for judgment. So Luke is giving us an idea of what's going to happen when this life is over, okay? So getting back to the rich man and the poor man, that's not the rest, the end of the story. So what does Abraham tell him in the next verse? I'm sorry. Go back. Right there. When Abraham was reminding the rich man, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Okay, now we can go to the next one. He says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. What he's saying is, here's the great gulf right here. I hope you all can see this board. It's as big as we have here. But can you all see this board back there? Can you see what I'm saying? So Abraham is talking to the rich man and telling him why he cannot send Lazarus from his bosom to bring him a tip of water to cool his tongue. And I'm pretty sure everything else on him was burning and hot too, you know? But he just mentioned his tongue. Because there's a great gulf and it's fixed. You know, that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to convince you that this great gulf does exist, because that's what it says in the book of Luke, and I'm going to believe it at that, okay? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So if you have a problem believing these scriptures, then, you know, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have gate trouble. That's what they tell me when I didn't know the law. You're going to have gate trouble. What's gate trouble? You're going to have trouble getting to heaven not believing what God says. You're going to have gate trouble. So I just read it to you in Luke. The Amplified, another version may say the great chasm, if I'm saying it right, C-H-A-S-M, the great chasm. Another translation may use that word, but we're using King James this morning. He says great gulf, okay? It's all the same thing. This is giving you an idea of what happens in a life hereafter. And I remind you, Christ hadn't come yet. This is if we leave this world before Christ come again. Most folks know that in the world as Judgment Day. Judgment Day is not here yet. If it were, we wouldn't be sitting here if it did, right? But sometime we leave this world before Christ comes. This is giving us an idea what happens if we should depart this life before Judgment Day get here. Okay? Romans chapter 14, let's look at that verse 8 and 9. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Okay? The Lord lets the sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. Eva might want to throw that in there. So in this life, there's going to be some death. There's going to be death whether you die in Christ or out of Christ. We have an appointment with God, Hebrews 9:27, to die. Doesn't matter how good you've lived in this life or how bad you live, there's an appointment you're going to have with God, and there's no other way out of it. So the best thing for us to do is to continue to prepare ourselves for when either this time come or if you're still here, when this time come. Okay? Prepare yourself. That's why we're here this morning. So hopefully up to this point, we have covered two worlds, this world and the unseen world. So how long do we stay in this world? We know in this world, it could be over at any time. We have a death probably in the world somewhere going on every day. Somebody is leaving. Somebody is leaving here in Lafayette every day. We don't know. So the best thing to do, again, is to prepare ourselves, okay? Now, I have these little notes all prepared, but what the Lord is trying to show me, you don't need all this. All you're going to do is just confuse yourself. So just keep it moving. So while I'm getting myself together, let this soak in a minute, okay? All right, I'm going to just leave that alone. Okay. We're going to say what they call it, freelance from here on. I'm tired of stumbling around for a minute. John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, that they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So here, there's going to be death after this world. We're going to depart this world by death, by way of death. There's no other way to get out of here but through death. You can't get to this world without death. And what John is showing us here, you can't get to this world. Of course, but now we're going into the eternal world. You cannot get to this world without a resurrection. He said over here in John that all those that are in the grave are going to what? The hour is coming in which they that are in graves shall hear his voice and they shall come forth. Okay? So now there's a resurrection going on here. From this life to this life, you've got to go through death. And from this world to this world, you got to go through death. And then from this world to get to this one, you got to go through a resurrection. You follow me so far? Okay, so now there's a resurrection going on. So if you died over here in Christ and you rose in Abraham's bosom, where are you headed? You're on your way to heaven. But if you die over here in the kingdom of darkness and you end up in Hades, which the book called it as well, a type of hell and torment, where are you going to go in the resurrection? You're headed where? And we're going to look at some scriptures, okay? So we're going to continue reading in John. And John, let's go to verse 29 now. Verse 29, marvel not at this. Next verse. John, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 29, I can of my own self do nothing. Oh, that's okay, we got it here. We got a backup, okay? We'll get that 29th verse. Is it me messing up? It could be. I'm throwing my own self off, right? That's the human thing going on. Okay. All right. Let me pick up my notes here. Give me a minute. I want to make sure you all get this part because we're on the last world. And we don't want to mess up at the end, right? All right, getting back. Okay, those that have done good under the resurrection of life, okay, we're being resurrected. We started here, we ended in here, we ended up here. You've done good. You're resurrected in Christ. Okay? Then those that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. It started back over in this world, and it just continued over here. Okay? All right. Now we want to look at Revelations chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. We'll look at that real quick. And we're in the eternal world now, okay? We have traveled from this world to the unseen world. Some call it the spiritual world. And now we're in the eternal world. Here it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" This is pretty much self-explanatory in the eternal world. There's not going to be no more pain. You don't have to worry about paying no more bills, whether or not you're going to make your house note, car note, what are you going to eat the next day. You know, all this stuff each and every one of us are faced with. We all have different challenges in life. We struggle with one thing. What you don't struggle with, I may struggle with. What I struggle with, you may struggle with. So whatever your struggles are, none of that's going to be going on in heaven. This is all it's saying. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time saying, but this is what you look forward to. If you die right in Christ, this is your wages right here of being a good steward in Christ, that you're not going to have to worry about all this. We're talking about the bad stuff you have to deal with. It ain't saying around here about all the good stuff you're going to get. Just talking about the bad stuff you're not going to have to deal with in eternal life, okay? "And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is Antichrist of the fountain of the water of life freely.'" Where did it all begin for us in this world? Where you are now and how you started here is how you're going to end up here, okay? Revelations chapter 20. We're almost done, okay? Raleigh, I feel something coming loose up here. It's about to fall. Revelations chapter 20. Thank you. Revelations, I've had enough challenges up here this morning. I don't want to. Revelations chapter 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Your book of life and mine. Okay? Man, I tell you. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So again, this is all self-explanatory too. So here now, all this is taking place here in this part of the eternal heaven, in eternal world. You can't die wrong and end up in heaven, and you can't die right and end up in hell. You ever played tic-tac-toe before? You have to have a straight line to win, right? Either you're going to get a straight line across, or it may go diagonal up and across, or up and down. But you can't go die here out of Christ and end up here in paradise and go to heaven. It don't work like that. So you have to make sure you die right in order to get to heaven. It's a straight line across, okay? So when he speaks about the grave, the people getting up out of the graves, those that died and was buried at sea and wherever they're buried, all that was happening over here. I mean, here. You may have died here at sea. You may have died and your body was buried in a grave or was buried at sea, wherever. That's not important. It's as important as where your soul end up at, on this side or this side of the great gulf, okay? Remember, there's an imaginary great gulf, and you want to die on the upper side of the great gulf in this unseen world, this spiritual world, where your soul goes if you leave this world through death before Christ comes, okay? We don't just die and go straight to heaven, because these people here that die out of Christ, they're like in a waiting place in torment. If you die in Christ, you're in a place of comfort. And then when Christ comes back, everybody's going to get up wherever you've been, buried. That's what he says. You're going to hear his voice, and you're going to get up for your final judgment, eternal world. Matthew 26, the last verse, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And I hope that in my stumbling and everything that I've dealt this morning, that you have gotten the point about these three worlds. And no matter what we believe, this is all fact. And there's nothing about right or wrong about it. We are going to be born into this life. We are going to have to go through death to get out of this life, whether we die before Christ come or before when Christ comes back. If you're still here, death is going to take place. We have to take off this mortal body and put on an immortal, because heaven will not receive a body that's full of flesh and blood. It's from mortal to immortality, okay? So don't be afraid of death. Just be ready for it. And then you're going to be ready for your resurrection. You're going to get up when you hear the voices call. He says, come to heaven, not go to hell. Don't lose your soul worrying about things that you have no control over. Your soul is it's the most precious thing that you have. So don't lose it. Don't sell it for little of nothing. Okay, so I won't say any more. I hope that you all have received this message, and I thank you for your patience, and God bless you.